KANS in GMMR on the MI5 network.
KFANF. This is November 8, Whiskey Romeo Oscar, NAWRO, Macomb County. I'll copy.
KFANF, you have you.
Yeah, no direct copy on this side. It's just digitalized. I got you on the Petoskey repeater, but it does appear your talk group might be incorrect. I think it should be 5-1. How copy?
Thanks for the help. I just reprogrammed my radio with talk group 5-1 and looked at the last heard on the website, and it shows that it's still coming in under a different talk group number for some reason.
All right. That one I heard a lot better down here. Waiting for it to drop in now. Aha. It dropped in as 5-1. Your loss is 0%, but I'm sure you're looking at this. You've got 111 for RSSI getting up there, but looks like it's readable. Try it again. Give me another one. NAWRO, name here is Tim, Tango India Mike, Macomb County.
Hey, thanks for the feedback there, Tim. My name's Bentley, KFADNF, Kilo Fox, Echo November, Fox and Trot. I'm in Harper Springs. I'm sitting in my basement with my laptop on my lap. I'm trying to get this thing programmed properly. I can probably get outside and get a clear shot towards the Spencerville Tower and should probably be able to clean up a little bit. How do you read me now?
You are, I would say, good readable, but there is some digitalization to your signal. And sure enough, that one dropped in with a red number set on the talk group. So something might be a little off. But your RSSI is still 107, so you're well below the 120 threshold. So you're getting close, I'll tell you that much. Suffice it to say, I can copy you. Go ahead.
Hey, just tried a different antenna and stepped outside upstairs, see if I can get in this one. Still looking at the last heard section of the website, though, and still doesn't show I'm getting in on the right talk group number. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong here. I do have number 51 programmed for this. I just updated my radio.
Yeah, I copied that. It's curious because I do show about, on the last heard, oh, I don't know, I think it's about 5 down. You had one that did show 5-1, but the rest are showing the 4-9 number in red. Curious. Don't know what that means. But I do see you're on the Petoskey Tower. I assume that's it. So I don't know. You got to be getting close, and for what it's worth, you are readable.
Yeah, thanks for that. Improvement in RSSI, is that just being proximity to the tower and having the right antenna or the rope set up? This is a new DMR, so I'm just hitting my feet way in it.
Whiskey, 2 Mike, India.
Yeah, breaking station, go ahead. NAWR Macomb, go ahead, breaking station.
Yeah, it's Whiskey 2 from Lake India. Yeah, I was following you guys on the last heard in the ENF station. He just needed to correct his talk group to talk group 51. He's pumping out the wrong talk group number.
KFA ENF, I think you copied that direct. I concur. And I know you mentioned that you said you'd changed it to 5-1, but... Yeah, I don't know. Double check, because it doesn't appear so. NAWRO, Macomb, back over to you.
I'll go back onto the laptop and reprogram it again and send it to the radio and see if I can get that group 51 actually on the radio. I'm pretty sure I have it, but I'm not exactly sure what the issue is. But thank you both for dropping in and offering your suggestions.
Yeah, sometimes when you get a program, make sure it's in your talk ID and on your channel. Sometimes it doesn't always take on your channel programming.
N8WRO Macomb County. Sorry, guys, I had a phone call, so I got to drop out right now. But I will be monitoring if I can be of any assistance later today. N8WRO, clear for now, but I will be listening.
KFA-ENM, accepting DNR, MI5 network.
N8WR Macomb County. I'm seeing 5-1 on the dashboard now. Looks like you might have got it.
Yeah, no, the same thing here. Small, small victory. Thanks, Chad. I really appreciate the help them getting me out along on this. I might have stumbled a solution here.
Yes, sir, no problem. All of us here in Macomb County were in the same situation about 6 months ago. And, of course, we spoke too soon because that last one dropped in with an error again. You know, there was one thing I didn't know if we mentioned, that we were told to make sure the setting talker alias, make sure that talker alias is off.
Good call, Tim. Looks like that might be his, could be his issue. Keep it up there.
We're trained by the best down here, Jeff.
Yeah. Another little bit of a knowledge. If somebody does have the wrong talk group programmed in the radio and they key up, after you unkey within 3 seconds, it will carry that talk group. They'll actually be riding on your coattails, if you will. So sometimes you're able to hear people come through because of that. That fact, that's how it works, so you know.
A little nuance there, yeah, that makes sense. I think we've experienced that before. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Something here at the end, does he go by Bentley or what? Let's see if he got his programming corrected.
KFA-ENF, yeah, just found that talk alias setting and turned it off. We'll see if it holds for me this time.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Give me the stuff here.
Wow. Well, I think you got it this time. I'll send it over to Jeff, KVSWR, for comment.
Yep. Winner, 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 chicken dinner. Your tab, Jim.
All right, trying it a second time where I failed before. This is Bentley, KFA-ENF in Harbor Springs.
Yep, sounds good. You got it fixed. Go ahead, Tim. I'm going to jump back out of here. KBSW.
The last thing would be you got the talker alias off, and then if you haven't done so, would be color code free. If you do the color code free, that would stop the doubling.
Color code 3, as in 123?
Color code free, as in available. There's different radios have different terms for that. Some are color code friendly.
Free as in F-R-E-E, not the number 3. Free. Came with us to bear.
All right, I have color codes available 0 through 15. Is there a different setting that I should be looking for buried in my CPS?
Yeah, correct. Color code is 1. That's the setting, the numeric setting. This should be a different setting. I didn't even ask you, what radio are we working with? What do you have?
VTEC 6X2, clone of the Anytone 878, I understand.
Yeah, there's about 3 different terms for that color code free. It's either color code friendly, color code free, F-R-E-E, and there's another one for that radio, which I don't have. The other guys in the group have it. Somewhere in there, you should see a setting for that, and you know, I can stand by while you look at it.
Usually that setting is called the admit criteria or channel admit criteria. K8FCR.
Yeah, that's it, Mike. Thank you for the assist.
No worries. happy to help where I can. Happy to caught you guys on my midday commute here. KFCR.
FCR, this is KFA-ENF. Run that terminology past me again that I should be looking for in the optional settings of the CPS, please.
Yeah, I've run Hytera and Motorola CPS, and it's under each channel setting. There is an area called the channel admit criteria or admit criteria, like admittance criteria. And that's where you'll put in, by default, it's usually none, so it allows you to step on people. That's where you will put color code free or color code friendly, or like Tim was saying, there's a couple of different terminologies for it, depending on the CPS radio manufacturer. But you want to look for something that goes based off of the color code and not the channel. Color code and not the channel.
Okay, so I've got a setting TX permit, and I've got it set to always right now, and I think channel free is probably what you're suggesting I put in here so that I don't talk over someone else. I think I got that. Copy?
In that field, is there one that's color code free? Channel free, if someone's talking on this channel, say, in analog, It'll block you out, so you want color code free and not channel free.
Options I have are always, channel free, different color code, or same color code.
I would venture to say you want same color code, unless Tim or someone else has some input there.
That's the confusing one. I don't know, Jeff, if you're still monitoring, what do you think?
I would set it to same color code. Set it, program it, go back in there, have somebody else key up and start talking and see if you can, if it'll let you key up or if it'll bonk. And that'll tell you for sure if you got it set right. But I would think same color code, because same color code's talking, you want to be able to talk.
KFA-ENF, stand by, please.
NAWRO, copy.
KDA-FCR, copy.
KBA-FCR.
KFA-ENF, if I could get someone to transmit, and I will try to double on you. We'll see if this works or not.
All right, talking, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, NAWRO.
Tim, I did try to talk over you. Did you hear me, or I did not get an error tone on my radio?
Yeah, ideally you should get some kind of a bonk signal, you know, the bonk that says you can't talk. I don't know. That was the tricky one. That was the third option on those radios, and I don't know if we ever settled on which is right. I mean, It just gives you that extra option not to step on somebody. So you're in. You've got it. It's just, it would be nice to maybe experiment with this. And I thought that's what we settled on, too, is that setting for there. But don't know. Maybe just try it in practice and see what happens.
Yeah, I'll work on that. Again, appreciate the suggestions and the time to help and everybody else chiming in. Great group of folks there. Thanks again. KFA-ENF.
Always glad to help. KFA-ENF from NAWRO, along with KE8SCR Mike and Jeff, KB8SWR. Thanks, guys. NAWR, I'll be clear as well, but I'll be listening today.
Happy to help whenever I'm near the radio. KE8SCR, I'll be clear.
KF8DPZ, testing.
KF8DPZ, Alpha Delta 8, Mike Papa, loud and clear.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. A small change to some of the programming in this radio. I want to make sure that I can still get out.
Yeah, copy. Yeah, I made some changes to mine when I was first installing, and somehow I corrupted my file and couldn't get out on anything. Once I backed everything out and just created a single channel zone, it worked fine. So I reinstalled the code plug that was on the Macomb Amateur Radio Public Service Corps page. And everything seems to work good, and now I'm able to program again.
Certainly good news to hear. Which code plug was it that you used?
I used the one for the, I think they only had one there for the DM32UB, the Valfang.
All right, copy that. I'm the guy who wrote it, actually. How you doing?
All right, well, it worked. I appreciate you putting that together. That saved me a lot of trouble. When I tried to do my own, I exported to CVS files and then manipulated it with Excel, and when I read it back in, it, I don't know what it did, but it, I couldn't transmit on any of the, on anything, really. I got out on Parrot on one of the woman repeaters, but that was it. So the only modification I made was within the software. I went ahead and added a zone for the I-75 quarter, because we often travel that to see my brother and sister-in-law. And then I downloaded the most recent copy of all the amateur radio operators for Ontario, Michigan, and Ohio, and separated those out from the entire file and then uploaded that. Other than that, I pretty much left it alone.
There's nothing wrong with that. Basically, I put it out there as a base from which everybody could work and to see how things were done and how to, do more changes for yourself in the future. Now, as far as what happened when you tried to import your CSV back into the computer, you're using Microsoft Excel, correct?
Yes, I am.
Like any piece of spreadsheet software, the thing you have to watch out for is once you make your changes and you go to save the file, make sure that you specify that the file format is CSV, because I have run into problems letting Excel save it in its native format. I've run into problems using LibreOffice and letting it save it in its native format. And the CPS software just does not like that at all. It's got to be CSV.
Yeah, but it seemed to import the CSV all right. I know there's a big difference depending on softwares with carriage return versus carriage return line feed. And if I'd gotten in there and just put in one thing off, I could see it messing something up. But it was odd. I can't quite figure out what it was doing. But backed everything out, installed the code plug off the website. And I just, once that's done, you did most of the legwork. 99% of it's done. I like the logic that you've used to set it up. It makes a lot of sense. And so if I want to add something else, if I'm traveling down south or wherever, I can easily just add a local repeater and a few channels. So, but everything seems to be working good now. And I get into the repeaters good. I use this one, the Mountain is in Detroit most of the time, and they seem to work fine. I'm looking forward to going up north and testing the I-75 corridor.
Fine to me, and I would definitely be curious to hear what your results are from that. There is actually one other thing that I'm wondering about right now at this moment, and I recently upgraded my outside antenna. I went up 10 more feet and got a much better one than what I was using before, and I was just wondering how I'm going to sound on the Novi repeater. It's 30 miles from my house. I can tickle it now, and I get a strong enough RSSI that I should be able to get through. And basically, I'm curious at this point, so basically, I'm going to switch over there right quick and throw out my call sign, and then I'm coming back here so that, you can let me know exactly how I sounded.
All right, we'll do that. Send me my 88MP.
This is KF8DPZ, statewide 1, Novi repeater.
Okay, you sounded perfect on that. I didn't hear any change. Sounded just like you did on the Mount Clemens repeater.
Well, thank you for that. I was wondering about that, and how good is this thing going to do for me, anyways? And now I know. I just went 30 miles with no problem. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm seeing your RSSI is a negative 118.3, so you're up. You're up almost 40 dB. Or you're down. I should say you're down 40 dB, but it's still sounding pretty good.
looking at the same thing here and only a 3.3% packet loss. So basically, I probably didn't even get a lot of digitization at that point.
No, not at all. It sounded clean. And, yeah, you got good. I was on the Detroit just a minute ago. I just switched over back over to Mount Clemens, and my RSSI is a lot better now.
I can see that, but definitely no change in your audio. You sound like you're sitting next to me.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with this. This is I've just got a little aftermarket antenna. What is it? It's got to be 10 or 12 inches long here in the house with over in St. Clair Shores, Michigan. So I'm pretty impressed with the quality of DMR.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely good stuff. Obviously I have one of those radios myself, and I take it with me when I'm driving around. I've got analog installed in the vehicle, but for me, for DMR, right now it's just that handheld, and I will be driving around using it with the, maybe 9-inch long antenna from inside the vehicle, and I still get out pretty clean.
Yeah, roger. Yeah, I've been trying that out myself. I just picked mine up after the, what was it? I think it was 2 weeks ago they had a question on the net about DMR, and I'm just getting back into ARSDC, so I thought, well, not time to pick one up. And when I looked them up and saw the price on Amazon for the Baofengs, I thought, well, I can afford to do that one, so I did that one.
There's there's nothing wrong with them. You know, it's like you'll hear people constantly bashing Baofeng radios. Everybody has at least one. And I think with the DM32UV, this time Baofeng hit it out of the park. This thing seems to be a solid performer.
Oh, yeah, they nailed it. It is excellent. I like the way it feels in my hands. It's got good weight. Feels like it's got a good build to it. I think the programming's good. The GPS, I've been messing with that, and it is spot on. It's got good GPS reception, and so that's nice to have there for location. Haven't tinkered much with transmitting that out, but even just to be able to look up your location and give it back over the air is nice to be able to do.
Now keep it like that, because this thing can only do the digital version of the APRS. So if you actually turn it on to where it's sending, it's going to be shooting text messages out through the network. And to put it charitably, that's frowned upon. Yes, I already made that mistake. But yeah, having that GPS feature is nice. You can just look up your position and then call it in right off the screen.
Yeah, roger. That's kind of what I saw. I kind of read some reviews on the way the GPS packeting system worked. I'm like, it wouldn't take much more programming to do something a little better than that, but we'll let them have what they have for now, and I'll just use the GPS as just a visual location for myself.
We're all going to have to go with on that one, and it's basically because the DM32UV only does the digital version, and the digital network we have here doesn't have the hardware to support it. They don't have anything to receive those signals properly. So the only other option, if you really want APRS, is to go analog, and even that is tricky to set up. For some reason, I cannot get it to work with the other radios that I have that are capable of that.
Yeah, copy. So what kind? You said you got a new antenna. What kind of antenna did you get?
It is from Alpha Antennas. It's their UV6 vertical. Comes with a ground plane. The whole thing is about 8.5 feet long, and it will talk 70 centimeter, which is basically where we are now, and 2 meter, and 1.25 meter, and 6 meter.
All right. Well, that seems pretty good. That covers everything pretty well. Last week or the week before, I built a T2LT and put that up on a pole about 20 feet. And it seems to be working pretty good. Built it for 2 meters, but I ran the VNA on it, and it is under 2.5 on the upper side of 440, and upper side the last third. For the first two-thirds, it's under 2:1. And so it seems to be doing the trick. Just something to get out a little better. But when I put it on this radio and test, I see that my rubber ducky on top here has the same or very close to maybe a 3 more dBi than the RSSI on the one I have outside, so they're not much different.
Not at all. The even the aftermarket antennas, you come across the right one, it'll actually work really well with your radio. A lot of people recommend sticking with the stock RoboDocky that comes with it because it works good, but every now and then you'll stumble across something that works a little bit better. But yeah, as far as the one you built, you're starting out for 2 meters. The reason I did all right on 70 centimeters is because 70 centimeters is really close to being the third harmonic of 2 meters. So that's why it's working.
Right, yeah. So yeah, that's what I saw. I was a little bit concerned about it at first. And even when I ran my scan on the panel VNA across from 140 to 460, and 90% of that is under 2, well, 90% of it is probably almost 100%, it's under 3 to 1. Across that entire band. So it's just a simple RG58, and I just trimmed off the upper half and then put a choke right below it so it just acts as a vertical dipole.
Sounds like a neat little trick. I might have to try that at some point just to fool around with the old making antennas.
Yeah, the build part of it is pretty quick. I mean, it's just take a couple measurements, do a little trimming, and you're done. That's probably 10 minutes. Once you got that done, put it on something to check your SWR and take another couple minutes. It's probably less than a 30-minute build altogether. I went the extra mile, and I stuck it up inside the PVC and put a cap on it, just kind of weatherproof thing so I can put it outside. But for a quick portable antenna, which I'm going to build a portable version this afternoon. You don't have to put it up inside. You can just take a short piece of PVC for the half-inch windings at the bottom and then roll the whole thing up, just kind of like a rolled-up J-pole, and you've got something quick to deploy. I've done some research between the J-pole and the half-wave to see what the difference is, and for the most part, everybody's saying that there's very little difference in any kind of gain between the two. So as far as ease of manufacture, the half-wave out of the coax cable is a whole lot easier to build than the J-pole, and it seems to perform just as well.
I'm definitely going to keep that in mind for the future, because at some point, perhaps, I have to build an antenna, and I just haven't decided which one I want to build yet. KFADDZ.
Roger. I've gotten to that point. I've got a J-pole out in the garage. Last time I fiddled with it, I had problems with it, so I kind of gave up on it for a while. And then I saw this one, and I thought, well, I'll give that a shot and see how it goes, and it went well. So I think I'm going to stick with this from now on. I kind of like it better. And once I make the portable one, then I've got something to take out in the field with me. I just really don't even have to worry about the J-pole anymore.
And there you go. What I replaced here when I put up that Alpha, what I replaced here was a J-pole that I picked up off of, actually straight off the website from the guy. I think I paid like 50 or 60 bucks for it. He makes them out of copperite, and they're 2 meters, but they work reasonably well on 70 centimeters as well. And he builds them all to be disassembled. The long element, you can unscrew it in the middle so that the whole thing is like less than 4 feet long. And that actually makes it really easy to transport in a vehicle, too. It's just, you know, it's copper pipe, and hoisting that up into a tree with a line, that could be interesting.
So, I'm hoping to, I think with some of the exercises they've got coming up this, maybe the spring, this summer, hopefully get a chance to give it a try.
Definitely. Experimentation is one of the fun things we're all about here, playing out here on these vans.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite part. I've got probably 6 or 9 antennas just hanging around for HF. As I see them pop up on the internet, I try the different ones and different styles. I've got a couple I take pretty regularly with me out to the park, so I have a couple options when I get out there depending on what I want to do. And I've been collecting some wire from work. I work for AT&T. We're taking down a lot of old cable. And the stuff from the house to the telephone pole, the old stuff from the 40s and 50s, is a copper-clad steel. And I've been collecting some of that, so I've got some of that to experiment with and give away if anybody else wants to experiment without spending a lot of money on wire.
So you're gathering up the old stuff that doesn't get taken down and replaced, huh?
We're not even replacing it. We're doing away with our copper wire line stuff. Yes. Yep. We're doing away with all the copper wire line, and so as we're just cleaning up the neighborhoods, So usually as I'm going around just doing my job, if I see something just dangling, I'll take it down. I've gotten anywhere from, 50 feet all the way up to, I think some lengths are as long as 200 feet of just straight wire. And it's kind of like the twin leads like you have for your lamp cord, where it's just two together. So I just run a splitter down the middle, and I've got two lengths at, 100 feet, 150 feet, 200 feet.
Given the price of copper these days, you're collecting quite a fortune there.
Well, unfortunately, it's not solid copper. It's copper-clad steel. They used it. It goes from the house to the pole. I've seen this stuff holding up trees. A tree falls down. If we've got a good attachment on the house and at the pole, the tree just rests on the wire and just sits there until we cut it down. It'll hold up quite a bit of weight. So I've got one up at my house, and I'm not. The only thing that's going to come down in a nice one is my paracord on the other end.
Yeah, copy that. What diameter paracord did you use for that?
I used the standard 550.
Remember right. Isn't that 4 millimeter thick?
That 4 millimeter sounds about right. They say it's 550. They say it's good for 550 pounds. And so I hope I have 150 pounds of ice. So far it does me pretty good. I just, I changed it out, I think, once because it was starting to rot sitting out there in the sun. But other than that, it does a good job.
All right, that's good to hear. When I put this one up over here, it was originally on 20 feet of galvanized pipe. Now it's on 30. And I'm like, okay, that's high enough up, and I've got two joints in the pipe instead of one. And I'm like, I better put some guy lines on that. And the paracord I use is a 3 millimeter, so it's a little thinner and a little lighter. And so far, it's withstood some 15, 16 mile an hour wind gusts.
Yeah, I think it's here. I just use a pole towers. I don't have any fancy towers. So the wind loading is not too high on my towers. In fact, both towers are real close to the house, so I don't have a lot of wind loading on either of those. I mean, there's more stress for me just trying to straighten that line out so it doesn't, or the antenna out so it doesn't sag too much.
Yeah, that's one of the things that you have to watch out for on that. Once I had the mast set up the way I want or whatnot, when I'm not tensioning the lines, basically what I did was I pulled them taut. Not hard, not under a lot of tension. I just pulled them taut so there's a little bit of give left in them still so they can flex a bit. Use the stuff will stretch as it's out there for a while, which is why two of the three lines right now, to make that easier, they have turnbuckles on them. I just haven't done the turnbuckle on the third line because it's actually tied to a tree about 10 feet off the ground.
Yep, yeah. And so, I get a little stretching. Now, the nice part about the copper-clad steel is that once I put that up, I don't have to worry about that stretching. That stuff, stuff I'm taking out has been up for years. If there's any stretch in it, it's gone. But with that steel, it's pretty solid. It's going to stay the length that you cut it. So unlike just a solid core or stranded copper, it's not going to stretch at all. Once you get it up and set, you're good to go.
Definitely good use for that line, too. I didn't even think about that. If it's durable enough for you like that, you can use it for guy wire, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, my pulse, I've got an end-fed half-wave. It will stretch, it will bend my pole pretty good. I've got a solid steel pole, but it still pulls it over. So in the opposite direction of my antenna, I use the copper-clad steel to my chimney to pull it back.
And so basically you picked up the issue with the weight and you gave some extra support there. That sounds all right to me. I mean, I'm not an absolute expert on this sort of thing by any means, but, it's not the first time I'll put an antenna in the air either.
Right, yeah. I've been putting them up and taking them down for years. It's fun. I just enjoy experimenting, trying different things and seeing what works. And so that's good. Well, I gotta go. But, hey, it's been good chatting with you, Cliff.
Absolutely, Dave. Good chatting with you, too. You said you joined ARPS?
I'm in the process. I was there at the Thursday night meeting.
Right. That means we probably saw each other and didn't realize it. But anyways, looking forward to hearing you on the nuts and seeing you at our next meeting and all of that. And with that, I'm going to say 73 to you so you can get out of here. And all the other good numbers, of course. This is KFA-TVZ, clear and monitoring after your tunnel.
KFA DPZ, Alpha Delta 8 Mike Papa, here at 73s, and we'll see you down the log. Bye-bye.
KE8WOJ, testing on statewide 1. KE8WOJ, this is KFA DPZ. Read you loud and clear there, Ricky. You're sounding good.
Well, thank you very much. Cliff, I think it is. In fact, you gave me the idea there. I was—I normally go through a hot spot, and I'm not very far from the Novi repeater, so I thought I'd throw the programming in the Anytone mobile there and see if I could make it there.
You certainly did. It is sounding good.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I'll start popping it in the other two or three radios there. Thanks again. I appreciate it. Have a good day. We'll catch you later. KEAWOJ, Rick in West Bloomfield.
Anytime. Happy to help there, Ricky. And, earlier I was listening to you talking to somebody earlier about a restaurant that served buffalo. They kept a herd out back. The name of the place you're looking for on that one is Amel the Buffaloes, and it was actually up in Richmond. And in November and again in February, he would slaughter two buffalo from his herd to provide meat for his restaurant.
Oh, Roger, that, yeah, appreciate it. I remember I was just an itty-bitty little kid there, and my grandfather took us up there, so I have no idea, how he got there or where it was kind of thing. It seemed to me he shot up Gratiot for a long ways kind of thing, but anyway, it was one of the best burgers I ever had in my life, but I never could figure out where the place was or find it again after that.
I was a boy when my mom took me out there to the place. My mom has loved buffalo since she was a kid. She just thought they were just amazing animals and stuff like that. Like I said, I heard you talking about it, but I couldn't get in. I had my hands full of other stuff, so I was basically just eavesdropping and things like that. But I figured since I had you on the air for a minute here, I'd let you know that that was the place you were thinking of. Unfortunately, it's been closed for many, many, many years. Amel decided he wanted to retire. So with that, I'm going to say 73C and all the other good numbers. And I have fun programming those radios, and I hope it all works out like it did with this one. With that, KFA PBZ, clear monitoring after your final.
Okay, thank you, sir. Again, I appreciate it. You have yourself a good one. And, I'd heard that they closed down a long time ago there, so I quit kind of looking for it. But, it should be a breeze to program there. They're all Anytone DMR, so I think I can actually cut and paste from one to the other kind of thing, so it shouldn't be too bad. But it's not a whole lot of channels in there, so it won't be as bad either way. But anyway, have a good one there, and I hope to catch you again sometime. KEAWOJ, I'll be clear.
KFA, keep easy.
E8RUH.
N4KAD test.
KF8 ENF, testing MI5 through my hotspot.
KF8 ENF, this is KF8 DPZ. And I only have one here because you came in loud and clear.
Hey, copy that, DPZ. I appreciate the shout back.
Ken, I'm sitting here watching the last herd monitor, and you're doing just fine.
Yeah, I'm on that site, too. Looks like through my hotspot it comes across a little bit strange, but I was testing it out using the Petoskey MI5 repeater earlier today and made some adjustments there and got in fine. So just trying to wrap up a couple other things at the end of the day here and see if it all works. Again, appreciate you and the others that have offered some help for me today and put me in the right direction. KF8,
problem, and you are very, very welcome to the help. KFA-DPZ. I add right quick that what you're seeing when you go through your hotspot, that's actually pretty normal. That's what it should look like.
Yeah, I figured since it's kind of going through and in between and not going direct, that it's going to look a little bit different than going right to the tower. So, thanks for that, too.
Not a problem. Happy to help. 73, see you. KFA-D. They're monitoring after your final.
73's back. KFA, ENF.
Okay, more.
And a GMP testing.
Sounding good in Rochester, KFAS.
WAPD. WAPD.
I'm hearing you guys in Rochester, KFAS. I don't know how I'm coming in.
KGH with Zenith, testing.
Faith, GIC.
WAPD.